This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Electric vehicles seem to be all the new craze, but it's not working out for one company. Welcome back into the Aloe Fiber Studios. I am Tanner Schwint. Brian, how you doing over there, man? Sorry for my aggression.
I'm all right, man. Yeah, no, let's talk about some more cool things like that.
The EV. Would you ever own an electric vehicle?
Yeah, if you gave me one. Yeah, I'd take it.
Yeah?
Yeah, give me one. That's fine. Yeah.
That works?
Yeah, it does. But I would miss the smell of gasoline and everything. But I don't know. I've never driven one.
I just feel like it's easier to keep a gallon of gas or something in your vehicle that, you know, if you get stranded somewhere.
I would like to say that, you know, I want to keep what I've got because I know what it does and I don't. You can show me a 1970s car and pop the hood and I can identify the parts in it. You can pop a hood now and I don't know what that computer is.
No.
I have no idea. So, I mean, to me, it's already foreign, so it's, you know, I don't know, man.
Where's the gas tank on this thing, right?
I've never driven one. I don't know what the giddy up on them is. There's a lot of things that would factor into that. And to me, I'm still afraid of the, you know, when we take a trip, we drive all day,
yeah.
You know, and I don't know that you can do that.
No, I don't know either.
I think you're limited on the amount of distance you can actually go, and I don't like limits. I don't like the man telling me
exactly
how far I can drive.
Exactly. Yeah. And not, you know, knowing exactly where there's going to be a plug-in for it, especially here in Northern Colorado.
There's a lot of things right now. There's still a long way to go.
There is. Angel, yeah. What about you? Would you ever drive? Because there's no way in hell I would ever drive an electric vehicle.
I think I would.
Yeah. You think so? Just, well, you, and you, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but you don't drive a whole lot, right?
No, and, you know, obviously there's those issues of finding a plug somewhere, and I know those cars, like some of them, it's like, it may take up to a couple of hours to get a full charge, and if you're not needing a full charge every day, I guess it's fine, but if you're traveling a lot and you need to charge up a lot, yeah, and then if you have a plug at home, that's making your power bill go way up, too.
So. And I was just going to ask, I'd like to see the studies done about what the, you know, does it save you money in the long run,
are you
right?
Paying extra in electricity versus gas.
Already that
right.
bill has gotten
right.
out of control for people.
So is gas bill, you know, getting gas. So it's the lesser of two evils that are looking for. But Ford Motor Company, you know, their new electric vehicle, the Ford Lightning, the Ford F-150 Lightning is all electric, has not been very popular so far. In fact, Ford has lost $3 billion before taxes during the past 2 years.
Is it from lack of sales, or are people buying it and not liking it, or are they just not buying it?
It's kind of a little bit of everything there, Brian, and they're planning on losing a similar amount this year as the company invests heavily in the new technology. But I think this is the issue that they're going to run in with, is people like me. I've said through and through, I'm a Ford guy until the day that I die. I will always own a Ford vehicle. It's just one of those family things, right? We were a Ford family, and I loved the vehicles, and I haven't had an issue with any of the F-150s that I've ever owned. But I will never jump into this because for the exact same reasons. If I want a pickup, if I'm driving a pickup, I know I'm going to either be pulling a trailer at some point, I'm going to have heavy stuff in the back of it, or whatever the case may be. I don't trust the technology on electric vehicles yet.
Not yet. I'm not there yet. I know a lot of people are, and that's fine. I'm just not quite. I need it proved. You got to prove it to me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I'm not going to be the guy that helps you prove it one way or another. I'm not going to be that guy. A company official said the electric vehicle unit, called the Ford Model E on some of these, will be profitable before taxes by late 2026 with an 8% pre-tax profit margin. But they wouldn't say exactly when it's expected to start making money on this unit. And this is the issue that a lot of people are running into. Like in California, right? You can't even buy a gas generator and things like that. That's in California. It is banned to do that, which is just bizarre. Bought a generator just the other day here in town. Went down there and they're like, "What's your address?" And I'm like, why do you need my address? And they said, because if you're a resident of California, we can't sell you this, which is just bizarre world for me. But
it is. You can get plenty of weed. But don't come in here with that generator.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly right. By the end of the year, the Ford expects to be building electric vehicles at a rate of 600,000 per year, reaching a rate of 2 million per year by the end of 2026. Ford Blue, the unit that sells internal combustion and gas electric hybrid vehicles, made just over $10 billion before taxes during the last 2 years. Ford Pro, the commercial vehicle unit, made $5 to $9 billion during those years, the company said as well. But the hybrids I like. I do like the hybrids. They still take gas, but you know they shut off when you're sitting at stoplights and things like that, so it saves the gas.
No, make up your mind. Sorry, hybrid.
Ford is saying after 120 years, we've essentially refounded Ford. We're embracing technology and competitive disruption in our industry, fundamentally changing how we're thinking, how we're making decisions, and how we're running the company. Electric vehicles is going to have a big toll on whatever vehicles are produced. But in my mind, this is where I really struggle with the electric vehicles, because it's about the amount of pollution that we're pumping out. It's about all those things that come out as well. The batteries, that are shipped across here, that they're made in other, everything like that, buying these electric cars not made in America, the amount of emissions that are released in just that time period, and I'll have to find the specific study of it. I had it memorized at one point, but there's a study that says if you buy a foreign vehicle, the amount of emissions that it takes to get here and where it's built at is the same as you driving that vehicle, an American-made vehicle, for 10 years here in the States. So the emission side of it I don't absolutely buy into. But this is either going to be a make or break for a lot of these companies. Either electric vehicles are going to take off the way that they're projecting them to, or we're going to see a whole new plethora of vehicle-making companies come in, because this could still land on its face.
I got to be proven to me. I have trouble seeing all the charging stations come up. I have trouble seeing this entire shift of what will encompass so much, of going that way, affecting so many different businesses from convenience stores to these kind of things of, what the trickle down of all that will be. I know it sounds good on paper, but there's a lot more to it, and I'm not that far yet.
No, I'm not either. I have a buddy that
I'm not against it. I'm just not that far.
I have a buddy that owns one, and he had to plan out his trips. Because it was like, we're at like half charge, something like that. We have to plan out our trips. And that's the thing right now, right, is that the charging stations aren't everywhere. So you got to find, you got to locate those. You got
to
be close to it.
You got to go to California to charge your car.
You do. And you don't have the batteries to drive there.
No.
Texter here, Unk, hopefully you have good walking shoes driving a Ford. You suck, Unk. I don't know how many times I got to say that. You absolutely suck. 8:15 the time. It's Good Morning NoCo on North Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK. The time. It's Good Morning NoCo, presented by Air Solutions. I'm Tanner Schwint, Brian Gary, my co-host, Angel Padilla, doing the production work. Unc, I'll get to you in just a second, but first we are joined now by Tracy Axton, FMS Bank. Good morning, Tracy. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys this morning?
Doing great. Thanks for jumping on with us today. I know we had some expected news coming out yesterday.
Yes, and it did. The Fed made a quarter point interest rate hike, kind of what we were thinking at the beginning of the week after the bank failures. We were anticipating before that a half point increase. So that was nice to only see a quarter. But what was better is what Jerome Powell had to say afterwards, which was we were expecting probably four more rate increases over this year, but he came out and said, yeah, we're going to raise it a quarter this time and probably just maybe one more. So
why the change, Tracy? And my first thought, and maybe this is just the, the pessimist in me and never taking anything for its first glance, but could this just be him trying to steady the markets out right now because of the bank failures? And we could still just see the four hikes?
No, I don't think we will unless inflation really hits. But I think part of the reason some of these banks are having some liquidity issues is because of the fast increase in rates and what the markets have done. So those who weren't well balanced in their portfolios have struggled, and we saw, you know, three of them go down now due to this type of stuff. You know, as a bank, you really have to make sure that your portfolio, you don't get too much concentration, such as Silicon Valley Bank did. They, you know, they were going after startup tech companies, and that was the majority of their portfolio. And you can't do that. You have to spread your risk. Basic finance, you know, finance 101, spread your risk out. So that's really what happened to them, and mostly mismanagement there, I believe, because of that. So that when the rates started going up, their margins got squeezed, and then when your customers find out that, hey, there might be some issues here, and they start wanting their money back out, then all of a sudden you're upside down. So that's why those things happen, but I think I talked earlier in the week that community banks, hey, that's not the problem with community banks. We're very highly regulated. We're required to have that diversity of our portfolio, and I can tell you that we are have lots of liquidity and lots of capital here at FMS for sure, and I think our banks here in Greeley are pretty well managed from what I've seen through the years.
No, I completely agree with you there, Tracy. And you know, I wonder, you know, what we will see, because obviously that had to have helped the markets just a little bit, hearing what Jerome Powell had to say. Is that right?
Yes, that is true. And the other thing is also is that we're starting to see evidence that, you know, hey, inflation's coming down. Unemployment numbers are going up a little bit, and that's what they really want to see, is that, you know, that we have a balance of those things, and those numbers are starting to, you know, we're starting to actually see that. And usually when you're seeing it, those numbers are typically better than what you're actually seeing in the reporting. There's kind of a lag there. So, it is having the desired effect, but hopefully now they can back off a little bit, let the markets digest all of this, and hopefully let things churn, and we can get to a more normalized balance. And then maybe, I don't know, this year, depending on what happens in the banking sector, hopefully, maybe at the beginning of next year we'll start seeing some decreases in interest rates from the Fed. I don't know that for certain, but just my wishes for certain, and a lot of people's wishes. But
yeah,
I just think we see how, because we don't want to go into a recession, so it is a fine balancing act. So I think, will we see some more banks go down? I think we probably will, but not a ton, and it's definitely nothing like 2007, 2008, 2009. So
yeah, no,
not the same thing.
No, and that's why I know a lot of people have been beating that drum and saying it's not the same thing this time around.
Uh-uh.
Tracy,
no.
What are the rates at this morning?
We're hanging mid sixes on the 30-year fixed, just below 6% on the 15-year fixed this morning. So rates looking fantastic.
All right, Tracy, what's that number to call?
That number is 970-673-4501.
All right, fmsbank.com/KFK. Tracy, thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Take care, Tracy.
There you go. There's Tracy Axe and FMS Bank. That's good news. Always love seeing that. So before we got a chance to talk with Tracy, I said that Unk sucks because of his Ford comment.
That was kind of rude.
Well, he came back.
That falls into your character.
He came back and said, I take that as a compliment. How's your bracket looking? You know what? You suck twice, all right? You double suck here today.
Those brackets will get worked out again tonight as the NCAA tournament gets back in action this evening. I think tip-offs start about 4:35.
Where's your excitement level at?
Zero. Not zero, but it's very minimal.
Me too.
Because my teams are gone.
Yeah.
I understand. You know, I'll cheer for Alabama because I want Angel to be happy. So, I mean, that's really what I've got. Aside from that, I've kind of taken Creighton as a dark horse. So I'll continue to cheer for them. I'm just going to watch and hope for good games, good basketball. And again, if the teams I pick can't do it, I'll cheer for Angel.
Well, you're in fourth right now in the bracket. And if you're giving dams that low, and Angel is at 33rd and I'm at 38, do you care just because of Alabama at this point?
Kind of, but I'm more trying to like challenge myself to actually watch these games a little bit more.
Yeah.
I missed a couple of days last week dealing with stuff, so I actually want to dive into this Sweet 16 and Elite 8 rounds.
No, they're fun. I mean,
they're good.
Great.
They're fun,
no,
but
the games are fantastic. I love coming to the wire, all that. It's going to be exciting, and I'll definitely watch. But
the first week, you can't
It'd
capture
be interesting
the same
to see
as
the
much
ratings,
as the,
how they oh, change after the first
week. You
weekend.
Can't catch that lightning in a bottle in back-to-back weeks. And with what that first weekend provides and how excited we all were for that first weekend, now it's kind of like, yeah, all right.
Well,
there's not like two or three games going on at the same time.
No.
It's one after the other.
Well, to me, some of the big ones are gone
mm-hmm.
that you either cheer for or cheer against.
Right.
And with Krzyzewski hanging it up, a lot of great coaches not there anymore. The fact that your North Carolinas and your Dukes are not there.
Blue
that
Bloods
brings
are good
in,
for college basketball.
They are. They bring in all of the alumni, you know, the huge fan base and the amount of people who can't stand them as much as love them. That's missing because of a lot of those big ones getting knocked off, but it also just adds to the excitement if you just don't care and you want to watch basketball. This is fun because
yeah.
it has been totally unpredictable, and you know that that's the way it's going to play out here throughout the weekend as they get down to the Final Four by the end of this weekend.
But that's the thing. That's the thing, though. There's not even really a Cinderella story this year, right?
I mean, no, it's full of Cinderellas. I mean, it's full of actually, it's like a bar full of decent looking people. All right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, Xavier, Texas. Yeah, there are six.
Seriously, it's him. Yeah.
Houston, Miami. I was reading what I had in there. Houston and Miami, that doesn't do anything for me.
I'd ask them all to dance. I just don't know if we'd go any further.
Arkansas, UConn, right? Gonzaga, UCLA. That's actually going to be a fun one. I will watch that one. What else? FAU. That's kind of the... You've got Tennessee in the Final Four or the Elite Eight?
Final Four.
I'm a huge FAU fan. If that happens, I think I'm going to avoid the Frosted Tips. If that doesn't happen, I am staring down the barrel of Frosted Tips at this point. Texter, what are the betting odds of Tanner getting Frosted Tips? I'm probably minus 250. I'm definitely the favorite right now to get him, although Brian's possible points are low, and Angel's just a slot ahead of me right now. So it's still very, very much in the running for any of us to get the Frosted Tips.
I kind of need the teams you picked to not be there, but yet I picked them to go. Like, I don't know how to cheer because I picked
right.
Alabama to make it to the final but lose.
But that's going to hurt him more than it'll hurt you, I think.
If they
and me, because I picked him too.
See, but I would need them
right.
for me to get points. I need Alabama to get to that championship, which gives him points, but then I need them to lose that game.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how it's
We're not good with numbers, and that's why we don't do our own taxes. We take them to H&R Block of Greeley. Ty Allen, the owner over there, great conversation with him yesterday, jumping on and talking about it. They change all these things up all the time. There's new regulations and new legislation put into place that we don't know about, but H&R Block keeps their finger on the pulse of what's going on so that you can get your tax return, the biggest tax return you can get with H&R Block of Greeley. The 970-330-1500, that's 970. 0-330-1500. More Good Morning NoCo when we come back. Brian, we forgot about Princeton.
They are the Cinderella. Yeah, there is still one alive. They have 15 seed, 14?
15 seed,
15
yeah.
seed. So, yeah, that is a big one. But like you said, it's kind of hard for people. Princeton, come on, you non-entitled people.
That's actually their chant. That is their chant.
Roasted.
Nailed it. I can't find myself rooting for Princeton. I don't know why.
It's going to be tough. But then again, I cheer for whoever is behind towards the end, usually.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I just want to watch some good basketball.
Yeah.
I'd like to see every game be a nail-biter, come down to the finish, and just enjoy it. Let me watch some good sports.
No, I agree. And if you're looking for a place to watch some sports, watch the Avalanche, or just enjoy it, one hell of a meal, you got to stop by the Tavern at St. Michael's Square.
We may do that tonight.
Is that an invite for me, or you're talking about you and your wife?
I was talking about me and my wife. Okay. You're going to be busy calling a baseball
game.
Yeah,
but it'll get over at some point. If and you guys are still there.
You know when we eat.
All right.
You'll be in the second inning.
Yeah.
We'll be having our after-dinner cocktail.
4:15 in
Absolutely. I like to have dinner wrapped up and ready for the news at 5. All right.
I like that. But it's happening at St. Michael's Square. It doesn't matter what time you eat. They've got you ready to go, just not before 11 o'clock. No breakfast there, but the Tavern at St. Michael's Square has a great menu full of delectable items on there that you can have. I've had almost everything on there, and I've got the real bad craving for the fish and chips. I haven't had those over there in a while.
It's been in my head for a while, actually.
Yeah.
It's because I love their fish and chips.
Yeah, and I don't like fish and chips anywhere else. I won't order them anywhere else.
I'm rather particular about it because a lot of people mess it up.
Yeah.
And it sounds, how do you mess it up? But they do.
Yeah.
It's got to be good. And theirs is. Every time.
Their fries, the little curly potato
their
wedges.
Their fries are probably my favorite. Because I'll think, but I want those fries.
Yeah. My mouth's watering just think about it. Yeah. Go and check it out. The Tavern at St. Michael's Square. Miles Blumhardt joins us next, but first spot in the hour, News and Weather Center.
What's that? Yes.
Yes,
this
it's
is
Rush.
Rush.
Thank
yes.
you.
What?
What? Hey! Gotta turn up my hearing aids.
Let that cat out.
Are you back? It's Good Morning NoCo. Live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. I thought that was Rush, but they're not one of my... They're Canadian, too, right?
Yes, they are.
Because we played a game of Dead or Canadian.
They're one of those bands that there aren't many people who kind of like them.
No.
Yeah, you're generally all in or what the hell is that?
I'm in on one song, and it's Tom Sawyer.
I don't know what the hell that's about.
Tom Sawyer. I don't know. Let's ask somebody smarter than us. Miles Blumhardt with the Fort Collins, Colorado. Miles, do you have an answer for what the hell Tom Sawyer's about?
I do not. That's Rush, right?
Yeah.
Is that Rush?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I'm not a deep person, though, so I'm the wrong person to ask. I'm very, very shallow in many ways.
I have so many follow-up questions on that. But
don't ask Miles how deep his love is.
Yeah.
How deep is your love?
That's the Bee Gees.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the Bee Gees?
Very
yeah.
nice, yeah. I like that. Hey, good to have you on, Miles. How you doing today, buddy?
Yeah, it was good to see you guys last week out at Eaton. That was a good time, and thanks for sharing it with me.
No, that was awesome. We appreciated having you out there, and next time we're out there, we're going to be playing some golf, Miles, because I know and you haven't played out at the Eaton Country Club yet, have you?
I have not, and the one thing I really liked is it looked like I could be in the other fairway when I miss, so that's a good sign.
You absolutely can, but here's how they make up for it. They've got the toughest greens in NoCo, in my opinion. The speed of those greens in the middle of summer is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about the course. I haven't been out there, so I look forward to coming out there and playing with you.
And I'm just going to throw out some smack that probably, you know, I don't know. You can bet on it, but at some point this summer, Miles, I'm going to beat Tanner.
I like it.
No,
yeah?
And I know he's sitting here going, "There's not a chance in hell." I've seen you play, and you've got some moments, but you can never put
mind.
It all together for a great round,
he
old
can
man.
Read my mind,
But I'm just telling you, I'm taking down this little cat at some point this summer.
What is with that?
Because
Angel and Brady are saying the same thing. They said they're going to beat me at some point this summer. And I don't buy it.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes those wedges, they can get a little cranky. So maybe that flares up, and then you get the yips on the green. And, yeah, could be. Not that I've ever been there.
Yeah, no. I will say the biggest threat to me as a golfer here at this station is one Mr. Brian Gary. There is zero doubt about it.
Because
when he does have it all going at the same time, and here's what scares me, is that I saw him play after like a 3-4-5 year hiatus, and he came back and was smacking it pure. And I'm like, okay, he golfs more. He really could probably come beat me at some point, Miles.
Yeah, sometimes, you know what, it goes the other way, right? You know, that first time you go and you haven't played in a while, you play really well, and then all of a sudden you start playing and other things crop up in your swing. So, yeah, well, who knows?
What happens now and then is I pass a mirror and realize who the hell I am.
That is really good point. Me too. Yeah. Okay, enough about our golf games. Miles, let's dive in here. Some CSU transfer news out of the basketball program. Not really unexpected.
Yeah, I think, you know, Tanjay was one of those 50-50. You can obviously, well, you can see why he would stay and why he would move on, I think. I thought John was a really good player. I think this team is in for a large remake, and I think it would have been fine if he would have come back, but I haven't talked to Nico about this, but I think there might be some relief from Nico Medved that Tanjay is leaving. I think Jennison is gone, the center. I think there's going to be a couple more. I think potentially Baylor Hebb, maybe. And then I think there might be one more. Nico might have four scholarships in addition to the two he's already given to high school seniors.
I thought I was getting a pretty good chuckle out of Brady Hole and Kevin Lytle on Twitter. Somebody had asked, you know, what do you want to see in the transfer portal? And Brady goes, because everyone's like, we need a 7-footer who can shoot and this and that. And Brady's like, a 7-footer that can shoot 3 points, you know, 3-pointers at a 45% clip, right, Kevin Lytle? And Kevin's like, yeah, he's also got to shoot 99% from the free throw line. And also, because people are just a little bit outlandish with what they want for their team.
Yeah, well, okay, there is a need. If Isaiah Stevens comes back, and I think that's probably a big if, you know, I think Adam was on, Nygon was on with Brady Hull and basically said, why would he come back? But let's say Isaiah comes back. They really need to be able to recruit probably a number two and number three best player on the team to be competitive next year in the Mountain West. Because if those two need to be taller people, let's just say that, right? They, you know, forward, center-ish kind of people. Is that hard to come by? Yeah. The transfer portal is not what a lot of people think where, oh, you just get rich from that. No, a lot of those players have baggage. Some work out, some don't. But if Nico doesn't get probably a number two and three starter, I think they'll struggle next year. And is Isaiah going to come back?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest news for the CSU basketball team is whether he comes back or not.
No question. And I tend to think no. Is that where you lean to, Miles?
Yeah, I do. I'm just wondering why. And I think Adam pointed that out. What does he have to prove? I mean, he's already one of the best players in the Mountain West. I think, can he go play professionally overseas? Yeah, he can. Can he play in the G League or the NBA? No, he can't. But he could make a nice living off of that. And, or he could transfer to a P5 and try and showcase his skills more.
Well, let me,
I didn't even think of that. Actually, I didn't even think of that. And that's...
Well, let me ask you guys this, and because I actually am on the opposite side here. I kind of tend to lean that he will come back, and I don't know the answer, of course. But if you could go back to your senior year in college, if you could go back to a place that you like, that you loved, that you're appreciated, and be the big man on campus for one more year of college, tell me you wouldn't go do that.
You know, I don't know what I don't know. Yeah, okay, you could do that. You could have a fifth year. I think with Isaiah, he's a mature kid. He's a smart kid. He's a competitor. I think there's more out there in life than that for him. I really do. No, I could be wrong, but I think if I were him, why not go start making money professionally overseas?
Yeah. No, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Isaiah as well. We talk with Miles Blumhart from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And what'd you have? You had a thought hit you right there, Brian.
No, I was going to go off. Not, I mean, even bail off the Rams. This is something I wanted to ask both of you because I see stories come across this morning. And this is moving down to Boulder to see you.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, has Deion Sanders, or Coach Prime, if you will, put so much light on them and if they don't win, will his arrogance wear thin quickly? Because I'll just tell you, as an athlete, I respected the hell out of him, but I found very few people as annoying as him. I can't stand people who are that full of themselves. Right. And he is incredibly full of himself and has no problem displaying it. Do you feel that could wear thin if he does not win?
Yes. It's already worn thin for me, honestly. Yeah, I agree. I agree with Tanner. You know, but you can say that about anything, right? Think about when Nathaniel Hackett came in last year, and you know he had this new vibe there and everything. And you, whatever you do as a coach, good, bad, or indifferent, the only way it ends up good is if you win, right?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever your shtick is, if the shtick doesn't include winning, well, then you suck. That's basically what people are at now.
No, you're right.
No, you are, and I think this was, and again, I want to credit this. I think it was Brady that came up with this, but he said it's like the Ed McCaffrey hiring for UNC on steroids, because the excitement level and the statewide interest on UNC at the time was at an all-time high. Turns out to be a completely failed experiment with Ed McCaffrey. Now, Deion's got a little bit of coaching experience, but now going into Pac-12, where he's at, will that translate? But now the national attention is shining brighter on CU than ever. And let's be honest, they're going to be a 4, maybe a 5-win team this year. They're not going to, I don't see them winning a whole lot, but it's the stuff that's outside of coaching that drives me crazy. I saw a video from one of the Barstool Boulder CU or something like that, that's like, Coach Prime was bench pressing, and he threw up, I don't know, 450 pounds or something like that on bench press, just in his regular clothes, no warm-up. And it said, name another coach in the country who can do that. I don't give a damn how much my coach can bench press. I could care less if he weighs 470 pounds. Let us win. And that's what I think a lot of the stuff and the hype about him isn't about on-the-field stuff. I respect the hell out of him for his recruiting, but I think what Brian, I think you nailed it. I think it's going to be, if he can't win with this, it's going to fall. It's going to get old really fast.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're probably a 4 or 5 win team. I think that's probably what CSU is next year too. 4 or 5 win team, unless they could get an offensive line. But here's the thing with CU. They were in the doldrums. It's a huge risk reward. Why not take it?
Oh, yeah. I agree. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, why not take it?
No, I agree 1,000%. I just wonder, it's that personality. It's like I was never a Floyd Mayweather guy.
Yeah.
You know, I respect him as a fighter, but I don't like that mentality.
Right. No.
You know? And I know Prime brings a lot of positive, and he gets people pumped up, and the players especially, you know, so I can respect the hell out of that. I just wonder, there's going to be a lot of pressure to win.
There's going to be a lot of pressure.
And I think that stuff wears thin quickly.
It does. We're talking with Miles Blumhart from the Fort Collins, Colorado, in here. Miles, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, I totally agree. There is a lot of pressure to win. But, you know, that's kind of his shtick, right? Put pressure on me, I'll perform. And you know, he did it as a player. Can he do it as a coach? You know, and we'll have to see that. But, again, you know, anything's going to wear thin if you don't win.
And in his defense, he has never done anything where he hasn't excelled.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, on me, because he could definitely prove me that he knows exactly what he's doing.
Could be.
So he has not failed yet.
But I just, I worry about how, you know, how bad that program was. You're not going to get it turned around in a year.
No, it doesn't take much to get better.
No, exactly right. And they will be better. I mean, you can't land that amount of number one recruits and not be better than what you were last year.
Yeah, again, but you have to have all elements of the team. You know, just like I think CSU is building in football. I do. But again, they're never going to run the air raid if they don't have an offensive line. And that's why I'm not picking them to win all that many games next year. Would 6 be great? Sure. Get to a bowl? Sure. But with that offensive line, and I know you're bringing new kids in, but, you know, on the offensive line, you really need to play together for a while. That's my big if. I think I like their running back, I like their quarterback, I like their receivers. Their defense is improved. CSU's, they got to get an offensive line, guys, or I don't see them, you know, markedly improving.
That's where it all starts.
It does.
You can't do anything without that.
Well, and it'll be interesting. Their spring game coming up on Saturday, I believe, is when they get underway there. How much do you take from spring games?
Nothing. Nothing. Yeah. You know, I played at the University of South Dakota, and you know what spring ball and spring was? It was just a meat grinder. And, you know, you're just seeing kind of who can play. So it gives you kind of an idea for the next year, but not a lot of stock.
It's more of a hype thing, right? Football's right around the corner. Here's what we're looking like. It's more of a marketing scheme.
Yes, no question it is. And, you know, I think it'll be interesting, you know, like, you know, to go to either Primes or Jays, you know, it'll be interesting, but I don't think it says a lot about next season.
I think they're projecting like 30,000 some people at the spring game for CU this year.
Oh, I know.
It's going to be televised on ESPN.
Brilliant move.
Again, right? Any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Miles, we didn't get anything on our list that we were going to talk about today.
I apologize.
No, it was a great conversation, man. But like Brian said at one point, too, there's nowhere to go but up for any of these organizations and these programs.
No, there isn't, and that's why you take the risk. And again, the risk is he could get you in trouble. I mean, there is that potential risk. The other thing is, I don't know that I'd really worry about the NCAA right now because they have proven extremely weak. So if you're going to violate, now might be a good opportunity. I'm just saying.
No, you're right.
He might get you there, but I'll tell you one thing: he'll be able to recruit. You know why? Because his promise to those players are, I'll do everything I can to get you to the NFL. That's what every player who has a sniff or doesn't have a sniff, that's what they want.
It's true. And it's a great recruiting tool. Miles Blumhart, Fort Collins, Colorado. And, hey, last question before we let you go. What's the worst intersection in northern Colorado? That's our Happy Life Gardens poll question. What's the worst intersection in NoCo?
Well, I believe it's probably Harmony and Whitesell up there where Costco, Walmart is, and Timnit.
Yes. Yeah. That's a great answer. Miles, appreciate it, my friend.
Love you, my guys. Okay, have a good day, and we will get out on the golf course.
Absolutely, perfect. Miles.
We did get a text that said Brian's going to beat me because I drink on the golf course, and Brian can control himself. So he goes, that'll be the day. Brian's going to have to get me liquored up and then beat me. All right, Miles, appreciate it.
Take care. Yeah,
see you later, Miles.
8:54 the time. Let's get the latest in the nerd world. Here's Micah Kilpatrick. Loving all the interaction on the Happy Life Gardens poll question today about what is the worst intersection in northern Colorado. I think Heidi summed it up pretty good here, Brian. Every intersection on Highway 392.
That's right on, actually. Yeah, that road is
it's a death trap, man, because it's busy enough for it to be an interstate or a highway, but it's tough to have that many people on that.
Here's the thing, every intersection is dangerous because we're idiots on the road.
Yeah.
That's a huge percentage of it is not because of the way it's designed. It's because of us as drivers.
For sure. For sure. And there are a lot of dangerous drivers out there who just don't care. And if you or somebody that you know has been injured in a car accident because of those idiots out there, you need to get a hold of Kane Doolin McQuinn Young of trialproven.com. That's trialproven.com. Havala was just talking about, you know, being the positives and the pros of being a trial lawyer and having that reputation. They've got it with trialproven.com. Call today for a free consultation, 303-246-1111. It's Good Morning NoCo. When we come back, Matt Johnson is scheduled to be here. I know he was going to try and fit us in, so hopefully we'll get a chance to talk with Matt Johnson, and we'll see if Brady Hull can join us as well. It's Good Morning NoCo on North Dakota's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.